Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, I'm Kingsley Meyer, Director of Campus Computing and Networking here at the University of Rio Grande, and I welcome everybody today for this forum. My life has sure changed over the years that I've been here at Rio Grande. I went from working in the outdoors and with environmental education to now being responsible for our campus network. And it's been my pleasure to learn most of what I know on the job, because as Dr. Johnston pointed out, 20 years ago, we didn't have all the challenges that we have today. And our environment is constantly changing. For us as citizens here in Gallia County and local residents, we interact not only with our family across the internet, but we interact an awful lot with our banking institutions, our insurance companies, and such. It gives me great pleasure to introduce a person that has my banking information secured. Kate Stewart, a graduate of Rio Grande. He has a long list of three-letter and five-letter acronyms that all relate to his security certifications. Much of what Gabe has learned and his responsibilities have come from the federal regulations that hold him responsible on behalf of the banking industry to keep our information and our monetary system safe. He has supported and sponsored forums through our Gallia County Chamber of Commerce and the Ohio Valley Bank and Farmers, and I know he will be having some more coming up to deal with mobility and some new issues that we'd like to focus on a little bit more closely. So if you will, please make Gabe welcome.
Well, good morning. I think it's still morning. I will apologize first off for my voice. I've spent way too much time at wrestling tournaments lately. Like I said, I am Gabe Stewart. I am the CISO at the Ohio Valley Bank. I've been in banking for 19 years now, the last 13 of which have been in IT security. Cybersecurity, that is the topic for the day. And the big question comes up is, what is cyber? Everything you hear right now is cyber this, cyber that, cyber threats, cyber attack, cybersecurity. Is it just another buzzword, or is it a serious concern? It's both. At the end of the day, cybersecurity has always existed. Cyber threats have always existed. Since the first Nigerian prince email happened, I recall, around 97, it's been there. We've needed to know how to act and how to behave around these. I've since heard that the Nigerian prince is now a Nigerian astronaut trapped in space, and he needs money to get back off the International Space Station. But data security, information security has existed as long as the internet's been around. We just have a new thing that we're supposed to care more about. The big deal is our exposure factor. And as Dr. Johnston alluded to, it's the Internet of Things. Everything is connected these days. If it is connected, it can be hacked. Some of the things that we have that are now connected, phones have been for a while. I still remember my days of a Palm Pilot that I just kept my notes on. Medical equipment, recently there's been a proof of concept hack of an X-ray machine that will, they can increase the level of radiation you're exposed to. The Chrysler hack last year proved that a car can be taken over, steering taken over, and acceleration. Houses are now connected. You can lock and unlock, arm and disarm your security systems. And the most amusing one to me, diapers. You can get notified when a diaper needs changed or if there needs to be a dietary change. So the bad guys, there's always been hackers. They're not new. Their skill sets are getting lower and lower because of great tools like Google. Google hacking is a real thing. You can find free tools that will hack most anything. Hacktivists. Hacktivists are kind of a new trend. They are people that are hacking for the greater good. There's a group called Anonymous. They've recently shut down the Westboro Baptist Church. They took on Sony, and Sony has paid a few million dollars to clean up the mess. They basically sent Sony an email saying, hey, your cloud is not secure. Please secure it. Sony ignored it, so they took it down. Hostile nation states, again, not a big deal in the past because they didn't have the technology. The technology is now here. Government-sponsored hackers, people that just, quite honestly, don't like the United States. Social engineers, these are my favorite guys because they are people that try to get information. They don't care what kind of information they get. They just want information. They will build a dossier on you or your company and use that to try to become you, try to gain access into your company to sell you stuff, to take over. They're the guys that send the phishing emails. They put up the farming websites, the watering hole places, and the ways they get stuff is they will talk to your friends and family. They'll go dumpster diving. They will look for credit card receipts. They will go through your mailbox. And when the attorney general is talking about the grandparent scheme, a lot of times if they go through your mailbox, they can find out that you have a new member to the family. They call to sell you life insurance for your new child, things like that. And especially when they hit grandparents with it, well, sure, life insurance is great. Why wouldn't I get it? Company doesn't exist. Identity theft in 2011 cost Americans roughly $5.2 billion. Ransomware, another new one. You get a pop-up saying, you've got an infection, clean it. Natural reaction is click it. Let's clean that off. Let's get it out of here. It encrypts your hard drive. And then you get an email a few days later saying, hey, for $400, I'll decrypt everything. And you do it because it's $400 and it's your family pictures. And they're completely legitimate. They will unlock your pictures. I know people this happened to. You get it all back, but then they leave something that they're leaving, and a few weeks later, you're encrypted again. So it's another $400. They're extremely successful because it is cheap, but they do it enough times, they make pretty good dollars. Ransomware in 2015 was $325 million, and that was not, that's the reported cases. Most do not get reported because, again, it's cheap and not worth the time. Denial of service attacks. That is where you get requests that you can't answer. It's like saying hi to somebody in a baseball stadium or saying hi to everybody in a baseball stadium and then all responding to you. You can't keep up with the traffic. And that's what happened to Sony. A lot of big companies will get hit with denial of service to take down their service. It costs them big dollars to recover from being out of business for 6 hours. So what can we do? Well, at the bank, we have layered security. We build a security perimeter, and we build layers in. If you think about a castle, there's a moat, there's walls, there's guards before you get to what's important. We do the same thing at the bank. We have intrusion detection systems, intrusion prevention systems, firewalls. We do a lot of user training. Our IT staff has to go annually to training because every day there's a new cyber threat, there's new vulnerabilities. So what can the everyday person do? You modify your behavior. Passwords are still king. They're not good, but they're the best we've got currently. multi-factor authentication, biometric authentication is coming, but the technology is still not quite there on an affordable level. As an FYI, Master 123, Password 123, Buckeyes 01, these are not good passwords. And I can always tell, I walk into an office, somebody's got a picture of the shoe and a picture of Woody. When we crack passwords, Buckeyes 01 is at least 10 passwords. And again, a lot of common sense stuff, things that everybody should know. Keep all your devices and software updated. Those patches, they're annoying. They take time. You've got to reboot. But all software has vulnerabilities. Those patches fix those vulnerabilities. Microsoft has what they call Patch Tuesday. The next day is Vulnerability Wednesday. The hackers have already figured out the holes in it after the patch. Be careful what you put on social media. Social media is a social engineer's dream. People put on there all the time what their exact schedule is, where they're going to be, how long they're going to be there, and what they ate. A lot of times it's an invitation, come break into my house. Use antivirus and anti-malware and keep them updated. Those signatures are updated by the vendors regularly because new malware is coming out. Change your passwords. Well, I apparently don't know how to use a keyboard. Be very wary of public Wi-Fi. Just because something says that it's McDonald's free Wi-Fi, I can broadcast that with my phone, and I see all your traffic. Free Wi-Fi is something that I do not trust. I can set up my phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot, and I can call it whatever I want. Hotel internet is very suspect to it. There's a device that can be bought for about $300. It's called a Pineapple. You can plug it in and broadcast Wi-Fi. You can have three or four different Wi-Fi hotspots to choose from, and it collects all your traffic. When you have your antivirus and anti-malware on your computer, set it up to run a schedule automatically while you're asleep. Don't open attachments and emails that you don't know. Call and verify. I know it seems silly in the age of digital communication to call somebody and say, did you send me an email? But if you're not expecting it, verify its validity. Websites, again, good websites have bad content. Home Depot, a while back, they had a phished site, and it was a complete clone, and it allowed a backdoor into your computer if you clicked on it. And it was their legitimate site. Perform backups. This is something that has always been more of a business concern, but I've started personally doing a backup. I've got a lot of pictures of my kids that I don't want to lose. So I keep a USB drive in a fireproof cabinet at my office that I update every so often. Because in the event of ransomware, we had ransomware at the bank. We deleted everything and restored it because we have good backups. You can do the same thing at home. USB drives are not expensive. Oh. Excuse me. Yes, sir. Ransomware is a fake antivirus that will pop up and ask you to clean an infection on your computer. Once you say okay to that, it starts encrypting your entire hard drive. And once it encrypts it, then you'll get an email that is legitimate. They will unlock your files. You'll get them all back, but it costs you anywhere from $400 to $800. Honestly, you go to your backup and you delete everything you've got and restore it is the easiest, or you pay them.
Now, when you get that, sometimes that will show that, say, you've got a buyer right here thing, right?
Yes.
And you don't, you're not blocked until you click clean, correct?
Well, a lot of times it's anywhere in that box will kick it off.
Right, but if it pops up, then you just shut down the computer and start it.
Yes.
And bypass.
Yes, or in the process from your task manager is the safe way to get rid of it. I do have time for questions if there are any more. Come on, somebody give me a question. Got to be one out there somewhere.
I think maybe you had it on a slide or somewhere. Once something's on your computer, it is there.
Yes.
And even though you might have deleted it, it's still there. So these kind of things that you're just talking about, these being held hostage and so forth, you know, I can get the word already. Is that somehow still there? Like, is your machine really kind of vulnerable from then on?
That's the scary thing with ransomware, is a lot of times when they decrypt your files, they will leave another agent on there to come back in 2 weeks. And start the same process again. So that is why I can't stress enough the importance of up-to-date anti-malware and antivirus.
My basic rule is, if you didn't ask for it, don't budget.
Yeah.
And don't have an antivirus thing pop up like that.
Right. And they do a really good job of making it look legitimate. Yes. Yeah, every year we have penetration tests done at the bank, people trying to hack into our network, and they will do phishing emails, and generally they come from one of our executives, and people are willing to help. That's why social engineering works so well, is because you do have a natural tendency to either stop a problem or help somebody. Decrypt. I believe that to be a slippery slope. That if they decrypt it, and I'm not sure that they're able to, depending on what the encryption suite was that was used, I don't know that there is a backdoor to it. But I think that if you start allowing it in certain cases, then we give up a certain level of privacy and a certain level of liberty. I haven't found, the question was, are Apple's inherently more secure, correct? I have not found that to be the case. By and large, the Apple market are people that don't care as much about security. They have recently got an encryption suite that is compliant with DoD rules. So that is, I'm assuming, what they're trying to break into right now. Or that phone could have been jailbroken, I guess, and another encryption suite put on that Apple is unaware of. I don't think Apple's going to be able to do it even if they wanted to. But Apple has always given you the ability to jailbreak their devices until they wanted to play in government space, and so they developed what is called the FIPS crypto.
Certain terrorists who use the app, I guess,
or more apps are coming in and being subscriptions. Is that good or bad? Or?
Encryption being good, in my world, encryption is always good. Because I want our data protected. I want your data protected, assuming you bank with us. But the problem is getting encryption that can't be cracked. And the government has set an advanced encryption standard that they will allow for use in government entities. And everything that we encrypt is encrypted to that level. We use anomaly detection, and we're looking at some other vulnerability management tools. It's pretty good, but the bad guys are always going to be two steps ahead because, sadly, the IT industry is reactive. Yes, sir.
Can you speak for a second about the business card industry and the ability of our bank to fraudulent activity to affect our customers?
Payment card industry standards, that is a group of standards that were set for anybody that takes payment cards, and you have to meet certain baseline security criteria. In banking, we have always had anomaly detection for unusual activity, unusual transactions, out-of-area transactions that will shut the card down. If it meets our threshold. A lot of work has gone into setting rules for if you do a transaction in Georgia and then one 5 minutes later in South Carolina, that it will shut that down. Yes, that is. The question was alerting your bank about travel plans. Yes, we've had it happen where people have been where they aren't normally, and they do a debit card transaction, the debit card gets shut down. So let your bank know you're traveling.
Will those types of communications always be with a customer service person, or will we get control of that type of notification through
or either
log into your web portal?
As of right now, the protocol would be go to a customer service representative, and then they would approach the appropriate person in the bank. Yes?
How secure do you think the where card readers
stuff are? I'm not personally a fan just because of the portability of it. And I have used them a few times, and I've not gotten my receipts, and the money still come out. So I am leery of using them, but they're here. The best advice I would give on that is monitor. Find a credit monitoring service. Monitor your bank accounts. Perform due diligence. Apple Pay, yeah.
I know now there's standards out there that people won't mind. They'll actually use the card in pocket. How long before they do that watch? Do you think it's already happening?
If it isn't happening, it's not far on the horizon. If it exists for convenience, people will take advantage of it. Yes.
That's right. I forgot about that.
What keeps you awake at night?
The Internet of Things. Currently, that is my concern, because especially to the millennial generation, privacy is a thing of the past, and everything is out there on social media.
Would that mean that you're not going to allow an Amazon Echo in your home?
What is an Amazon Echo?
It is a information center. You can ask it anything, and it will tell you.
It's like the Alec Baldwin wakes up and says, you know, order me a pair of wool socks, what's the weather, and, you know, what did you see last night? Huh.
So will I allow it in my house? I haven't got to that bridge yet to burn it. So. If there are no more questions, I sincerely appreciate your time today. I appreciate Raya's willingness to let me come and speak, and I thank you.